Richard, you can start the meeting whenever you are ready.
You don't want to give me a choice.
Whenever you're ready, sir.
Okay, we will call the meeting to order. This is a regular commission meeting of the Port of Brooklyn Charter Commission on Wednesday, April 17th, 2024. And we'll begin with the pledge.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Danielle, will you do a roll call, please?
Larry.
Here.
Dan.
Present.
Sharon.
Here.
Joe.
Here.
Richard.
Here. Here we have a change to the agenda. Not the Adam adding action item E.
Yes, the boatyard oil water separator.
Okay.
Contractor approval.
Okay, are there any other modifications, additions, or changes to the agenda? Any declaration of potential conflict of interest?
No, no.
Okay. With that, I would entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
Go ahead, Larry.
Motion to approve the agenda as amended.
Second.
Motion in a second. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Dan?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Approval of meeting minutes. Anybody want to make a motion about that or any discussion about it before?
I make a motion to approve the minutes. The regular commission meeting Wednesday, March 20th, 2024.
Second. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Dan?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Any public comments? I don't have any in front of me.
I didn't receive any.
Okay. Bring this to the management and financial report.
For the RV park, our new camp host had a family emergency and had to leave. We have put an ad out to find a replacement. Material has been ordered to replace the existing back rail fence. This order will complete the first 700 feet of the back rail fence, where most of it has been blew over by the last windstorm. After the staff has installed that portion, we will place another order for the remainder. A new bench was ordered for the beachfront walkway. This will replace an old bench that was damaged during a winter storm. Staff will continue to pull weeds and remove sand from walkways, as well as finishing cleaning up the dry camp area. Occupancy is looking a little bit better at the RV park. The marina sea lions were still occupying J Dock. Some of them seem to move on as of March 31st. So far, two power pedestals will need to be replaced. Other minor repairs will need to be done after they've moved on. They all have moved on since then. Quarterly dock inspections are completed. Multiple work orders have been created from the inspection. Staff will get materials that are needed in the work and will work on getting the items done throughout the month of April. Weed and grass removal is complete in Basin 1. Oil booms are replaced in catch basins throughout the port. The fishing vessel Beach King was towed in after it capsized while crabbing. The vessel was towed, partially sunk, and tied to our work dock. Oil booms were put around the vessel, as well as containment booms to capture fluids. Port staff was able to maneuver the vessel into the travel lift chute and pull the vessel over the straps with a telehandler. Equipment services, telehandler, we did three. We did five haulouts. Commercial receiving docks, all docks are operational. We continue to add the gussets on the Pacific Seafood new dock. And I think we're down to like six pilings left to finish that up. And then requests for first quarter landing totals will be have been sent out and will be in by April 30th. Commercial retail buildings, new pumps arrived for the retail septic system. Gutters were checked and cleaned in the retail area. Work continues at the Augustino Winery building. Owners are planning for the new water line and meter to be installed towards the end of April. Estimating opening is still sometime in May. Lease renewal letters were sent to Checo Dustless Blasting and Pacific Seafood for their dock and storage work area. Maintenance staff completed 87 work orders throughout the month. Office staff, 20 mortgage renewals. Invoicing for gear in leased areas. Daily checks of port grounds and safety issues. Work orders have been made, and field staff will work on completing them throughout the month. Rate and budget preparation is completed and sent out on time according to the budget schedule, and we reviewed the mobile food cart lease template.
Okay, questions for Travis?
So, Travis, has the RV park coffee place talked to you lately when they plan on reopening?
They are open.
Oh, they are?
They just recently opened. I know when I was talking to them, part of the reason he was closed down is that a part broke in it, and I asked him, you know, he was supposed to be open, I think it was March 15th is what he said, and he was currently still waiting on a part that was shipped from Europe, but it looks like he has it and he's open and up and running.
Well, the weather hasn't been real accommodating for his outside business.
Right. I think he's open and hopefully doing well.
Good. Thank you.
Just briefly on the issue of sea lions, there may be something coming on the horizon. The treaty tribes on the Columbia River are now formally talking to NOAA about predation on salmon. And so sea lions and birds are coming up. So whether that will have an effect on anything or not, I don't know. But it takes a tool at a different level than the normal discussion we have about these things. As sovereign nations, they have a little different standing to engage on this issue. So, just for what it's worth.
Okay.
Takes us to safety, security, and environmental report.
Port maintenance discussed eye safety incidents. There weren't any in March. It was pretty slow for security wise, and we did our monthly stormwater pollution control check.
I've had a couple of people approach me in the last day or two about stuff being in storage and things cut off their, like your gurdies. They didn't bring it up to you, Travis. They just found out about it. I don't know if they're going to bring it up to you or, but,
encourage
them. There's been several trailers ripped off. One was mine. One was Shane's on the Cape Sebastian. We kind of know who stole them, but I'm not going to say any names because I'm not for sure.
Right.
But if I do find out for sure, I will let you know because you don't want me to.
Yeah. I mean, anytime, if you let me know immediately,
mm-hmm.
it's a lot easier for us to review
mm-hmm.
cameras. Just because we don't have a camera on it doesn't mean we can't put together at least something with cars going by the cameras that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And on another one with that. Yep. Unfortunately, we're in a place that has the potential for it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have expensive gear, things that you don't want, things that might just be a snip away from being stolen, I would try and take that extra minute and maybe safeguard those. And if you have a trailer, put a tongue lock on it, chain the tires together.
That's one problem.
You know, that it's just recommendations to help because
mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, there is potential for that to happen. So just try and safeguard your things the best we can.
I noticed on Basin 2, I'd like to thank the harbor master for putting up that security gate next to the gate itself, let you in and out, put that side over so no one can reach around it anymore to get into it. Smart thinking, especially when you want the commercial vessels to be over there on that side too.
Yeah.
Sure, they appreciate it. It's good forward thinking, right, Travis.
That's perfect. For the financial summary.
Okay, so March 2024, our unrestricted cash and equivalents total $358,991. Our restricted cash and equivalents total $571,984. And our total checking and savings was at $930,975. Our total revenue for all funds was $286,214, with our expenses at $350,610. We did have a net income at negative $64,396. A lot of those are reimbursable funds, which are shown on the next page. Our total income for all funds is currently at 38.9%, with general fund program revenues at 67.7%. Our total expenditures for all funds is at 30.7%, with general fund expenditures at 63.6%. During the month of March.
And I just wanted, when she's saying that, the 38% and the 30.7%, don't look too hard at that number. You will see that number improve more when we do a supplemental budget, but it's because I budgeted so much in our capital projects and we haven't spent anywhere close to, let's say, $3.5 million on a wastewater treatment plant. So that's why those numbers are significantly down. And our reserve, our supplemental budget will correct that and probably do that sometime right at June.
I was able to move the $300,000 from the general fund back into the reserve fund that we talked about last year. We made that resolution so we could use that funding for FEMA spending, and it has been put back to where it needed to go. I did pay our ISA loan for the first quarter of 2024. I finished our budget, which you all have in hand, the proposed budget that we'll talk about next on May 7th. And then on the following page is what's left for current expenditures and reimbursements for our capital projects.
Okay, questions? Comments?
Do a good job. Thank you.
Okay. I entertain a motion to accept the management financial report. Motion to accept the management financial report.
I second it.
Okay, we have a motion and second. Daniel?
Larry?
Yes.
Dan?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Okay, that brings us to action items. Action item A, the draft resolution 2024-04 proposed for fiscal year 2024-25.
Okay, so we did discuss this in our last meeting. Most of the rates include the our rate increases for our tenants went up 3.4% for the CPI. The rate proposed that we have in here are mostly at 5%. Does anybody have any further questions, comments, discussions on what the rates were?
No.
Tried to, add the information last month, give everybody some time to look it over. So
I do have a question for you.
Uh-huh.
The CPI, as you reported, was 3.4%. Why are we asking for
5%? 3.4%, quite frankly, isn't enough to cover rate increase, wage increases. Vendor costs. Our vendor costs in most things have gone up way beyond 3.4%. So we're struggling to find what the CPI increase is, where that lands. The CPI is on a low end, what I've always considered a low end for inflation. And a lot of what we do is revolves around vendors, outside sources, and their rates have gone up more, significantly more than 3.4% or than 5%. So trying to keep us somewhere close to it, but what the reality is that our cost, I mean, our electrician cost went from $100 an hour to $125 an hour. You know, people are going up significantly in rates for contractors and work for us to be done, it's including supplies.
So the 1.6% then is not included in our dredging? Over the 3.4%, the additional 1.4 is not for dredging.
I did not propose an additional 2% for dredging, no.
Okay, and then the other comment is on the resolution, on that page where it's to be signed by Sharon and Richard. It's about the 4th line. It says it reviewed and approved the draft rates for the regular board meeting on March 20th. I don't believe we approved anything on March 20th. That's what we're doing here today, correct?
Right. This one? Yeah, we reviewed draft rates. We will make that change.
Okay. Anything else?
Good catch, Dan.
Okay.
I'll make a motion to approve resolution number 2024-04, pork rates for fiscal year 2024-2025.
I second it.
Okay, we have a motion and second, Danielle.
Larry?
Yes.
Dan?
No.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Okay, that brings us to action item B, Umpqua Valley Financial Contract.
Okay. So we reviewed this in our last meeting. One thing that I know we did say that the rate included our FEMA audit, it does not include our FEMA audit. There is a separate line item on here. April, where is it? Where they talk about our audit. It's about $5,000 for that, which will be, oh, it's in this one, isn't it? When we were asked, I thought that our audit was included in that, but the single audit for, so it'll be $22,800 for our regular port audit, and then it will be an additional $5,250 for the single audit. So on the audit side of it, we are still checking to make sure that the audit will be necessary. I'm not exactly sure if it's our fiscal year or FEMA's fiscal year, because they're different. So I am getting to the bottom of that right now. But at least in here, it does show that is, and I wanted to make sure we corrected that it is an addition to the $22,800 for our audit.
And then there was on page 6, Dan had brought to my attention about a week ago that in about the 5th paragraph, they reference staff at the Port Harbor office. So I did reach out to them, and they have corrected that and sent me a new one that we have to move forward with signing.
You definitely do not want to be confused with Port Harbor, Commissioner.
Travis, just out of curiosity, real quick, the other KDP, I think it was, did their bid initially cover the audit? And if so, was it that much difference in the cost?
The KDP was a separate fee for the FEMA audit,
okay.
But their regular audit was 40.
I know it was quite expensive, 40, and that's why I was wondering if
that
was
separate. It was separate also.
Okay.
So on this audit, we mentioned last month or month before that came down to, the way I understood it, to write an extension letter for the port. It was going to cost $25,000. And then from that point on, they were going to charge you
$5,000. No, I think you misunderstood.
I must have.
It's $23,800. The audit is expected to be completed by December 31st. If there was an extension that needed to be done, which we're not planning on, there's no fee for that extension. We had to do one for the fiscal year 22-23 that we're still waiting on, and we didn't get charged an extension fee.
Good. Thank you.
Okay. Anything further? Okay. Item, action.
I'll make the motion to approve the port manager signing contract with Umpqua Valley Financial for our audits.
Can I second that?
Okay, we have a motion to second. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Dan?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Brings us to action item C, letter of support for Beacon Broadband.
All right. Paper. So we do have Val Early here. She is with Beacon Broadband. She's here to help to answer any questions you have, but Beacon Broadband is filing for grant applications for broadband deployment program offered by the Oregon Broadband Office through ARPA funding. To further advance this application, they have requested a letter of support from the Port of Brookings. So they did provide us with a canned letter of support, and I wanted to make sure we ran by this. You guys had an opportunity to ask any questions, concerns, and approve the support for this.
Carolyn, you want to say about?
Well, so the Beacon Broadband Deployment Grant is applicable for phase two of what Beacon Broadband has been doing in our area. So originally what they planned down here has mostly been completed as phase one going clear through to Port Orford. And then moving into phase two is up in the northern part of Curry County and into Coos County. And so the ARPA funds were awarded to each state, and each state individually rolled out their program for being able to award the broadband fund. And Oregon is very behind, I guess I would say, in some ways, in rolling out those funds because they have to be spent by the end of 2026. And so they have set the time frame for being able to do this grant application. It started on March 25th. And then it closes only 30 days later. So they didn't give us much time to do much of anything. They rolled out the grant prospectus probably maybe a week ahead of that. I wasn't at Beacon at that time, so I'm coming in the middle. So, but it's basically the letter of support is just asking you to say that yes, we've been a good community partner, and that we have been building in this area, and we've been successful. And the goal of Beacon is to follow along the Coos Curry Electric line. We're a local company. Coos Curry Electric is our local provider. And so that's why we were asking for a letter of support.
Yeah. Any questions? Can I ask a question?
Sure.
What do you do with the broadband? Is that communication? What is it?
It's internet.
High-speed internet.
But they also do phone lines.
Phones.
And television.
Yeah, I know that. But what's the port needed for? It's for
Majority of our tenants are hooked up to it, and they ran the mainline infrastructure throughout our port and have it in places for any future port expansions or, you know, our office does not use them, but many of our tenants currently do, and now they have infrastructure that comes through our port. And when they did come through the port, you know, there was some issues that came up, but to their credit, they came and they fixed every single thing.
So did the board have to pay for anything?
No.
Okay.
Nope.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Before we go on, please, Richard, Val, to your knowledge, have the communities, the outside communities such as Cougar Lane, Agnes, and those been reached yet?
So that is part of this grant. That Agnes area clear up to Illahi is part of this grant. So that whole section from there, from I guess the outskirts of what you would call Gold Beach all the way to Illahi, was part of phase two. And part of that was the permitting issues, Dan, because, you know, it takes a long time to go through the federal government. So we've been working on all of those, from what I understand. And during this process, as soon as we get the funding for it, that build will begin. They're getting ready to cross the bridge there at Gold Beach right now, and they've gone up Jerry Flat Road a little ways. I'm not sure how far. I'd have to check with construction again.
I know that the Harbor Water District has gone to it, and we're, for the most part, liking it. Few technical issues that still have to be worked out, but my wife recently switched to it. I'm still trying to get used to the TV channels.
I love it. And it's, you know, the one thing that I'll say since I've been there, which has honestly been very short, is that their customer service has been exemplary. I have it myself, too, and they're always very responsive. And that's because they're a local company.
I'm just not sure about hooking up Agnes to the rest of the world. That's kind of a very concept.
Not much up there.
Okay, anything else? All right, we're at action.
I make a motion to approve the port manager to sign a letter of support for Beacon Broadband.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and second. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Dan?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
I just, if you don't mind, I just want to say one more thing, if you don't mind. First of all, thank you very much for the vote of support. But secondly, I walk down here almost every day, and I have to tell you that you have an incredible staff down here. All of your guys at work, all the guys that work for Travis, and all of your office staff, they're so incredibly dedicated, and I just want to compliment you.
Give them a raise.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, that brings us to action item D, letter of support for the special districts Oregon.
Okay. So, Special Districts Association of Oregon, SDAO, has been working on a House bill that was approved this month by the Federal House Oversight and Accountability Committee. If passed, this bill would establish a formal definition of special districts in federal law, as well as require the Office of Management and Budget to issue guidance to federal agencies requiring special districts to be recognized as local governments for the purpose of federal finance assistance determinations. SDAO is asking that all members to send a U.S. House of Representatives a support letter for H.R. 7525. So this is a good thing. This is something SDAO at their conference was discussing, that unfortunately special districts right now in the federal government are not recognized for federal assistance. So this will be able to have special districts in Oregon recognized at a federal level.
Okay. Any questions?
Yeah. They're asking, correct me if I'm wrong, Travis, they're asking for special districts to be recognized as a governmental agency for financial means only, correct?
I believe that's what this is intended for.
Because I'm not a fan of more government agencies in regards to oversight and whatnot, because it creates more hoops and bureaucracy and for permittings and other things to go through. So I'll leave it at that.
Yes.
This is this, I was reading this also, is this like you put in money to get money out of it? something like that?
No.
They're asking for it.
We are not putting in money for anything.
Okay, and special district, are we, is Fort part of the federal thing, or?
We are recognized as a local government. Basically, through the state level, we are recognized as a special district, but it pretty much stops at that level for being a part of a special district. Now, we do still are eligible for disaster, you know, money through FEMA. We are eligible for grants like that. But, and I wish I had a whole bunch more answers for you, but I don't exactly. But this will offer federal agencies, this will offer special districts to be recognized and guidances for future federal financial assistance. Because right now, special districts would not be included in any federal financial assistance that might be happening at a federal level. This will help recognize special districts. I think in Oregon, we have over 1,000 special districts right now that aren't recognized under the Office of Management and Budget. So this is just helping get us availability to other federal assistance programs if and when it's needed.
No fee. Thank you.
Yeah, like when COVID was a perfect example. Like we didn't receive any federal COVID money because we're not recognized under that. We did for state, the state did, but for us applying for federal assistance, we weren't eligible for that.
Thank you.
Motion to approve Port Manager to sign the letter of support for SBA.
Second.
Then we have a motion and second. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Dan?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. This brings us to action item E, the Boatyard Oil Water Separator.
I have fallen off.
Action.
All right, action item E. So we purchased the oil water separator for the boatyard that was approved in a previous meeting. So we put out an RFP to have a contractor installed it. Now this is money that was provided to the port from Curry County for the state and local fiscal recovery funds. We picked out the place for it to go in the boatyard. We advertised it. We got two quotes back, one from Tidewater and one from McLennan Excavation. Tidewater came in at $13,500 and McLennan Excavation $18,540. So I'm asking that we get that we approve Tidewater contractors to install this, and that will put us at $44,000 and change of the money spent for that money, and we will try and find another way, another project, catch basin, some sort of stormwater improvement to eat up the rest of that $50,000. If we don't use it, then we have to pay it back. So,
we
have plenty of places it can go.
Yes.
So after, we're not going to do that until after this is installed. They came just in case there's incidentals, overages, change orders, whatever it is. As long as that goes smooth, like we hope, we should have a little bit of money left over to hopefully improve something else.
So we're only installing the one, correct?
Just this one for right now. I'm proposing that we budget for another one next year to handle the stormwater that comes off from the gear storage area where we move things up to the green building area. But the oil water separator is $32,000 delivered. So.
Okay. Any questions? Discussion? All right. Hearing none, we're at action.
Motion. Motion to approve court manager Warwick and Designee to approve and sign the contract from Tidewater Contractors to install the oil water separator at the boatyard.
Second. Okay, we have a motion and a second, Danielle.
Larry?
Yes.
Dan?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. That brings us to informational items.
All right. Information, total dredge to date is 2,644 cubic yards. The total dredging remaining under FEMA is 35,356 cubic yards. The dredge was removed from the basin and is currently stored under a tarp in the boatyard. The generator is also being stored under a tarp. The flexible discharge hose floats will remain in the water on Sea Dock through the off season. The dredge GPS system is still waiting on the new router from DragFlow. The coordinates information will be on hand, will be hand entered and should be ready to go before the dredging starts up again in October. The FEMA equipment storage building was submitted to Curry County Planning and Building Department for plan reviews. The plan reviews are expected to take 4 to 6 weeks. On that note, we did get our building permit. It's ready for pickup. So once the county building permit is issued, the pole barn lumber will be ordered. The port is still waiting on DEQ to decide on the clean fill determination on the dredge spoils. If we get the clean fill classification, it will make it easier to dispose. Mm-hmm. The 25% match from Business Oregon is available until May 11, 2025 under contract LS2009. For $474,372. This contract will need to be extended prior to May 11, 2025. There are no deadlines to use these funds as long as contracts are extended prior to the end date. We've already contacted Business Oregon. We had a meeting with them. We have it on their calendar and our calendar that we're going to talk again on January of 2025 to start the extension process. Current dredging expenses and budget remaining, including matching amount for PW189 dredging, is we've spent $942,480 of the FEMA expenditures and $190,999 of Business Oregon matching. And then we do have the current expenses and budget remaining for PW190 administration, which was given, which is 100% funded. It does not need matching for administration expenses. April time, Gary time, paperwork time. And that amount was $135,000, I think is what it was to start with. So that's got to last us throughout the project, but it is money to help account for administration costs that are coming directly from our project work.
So that pole building, is it going to go where you have the dredge spoils there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Thank goodness the rain's staying away.
We just got to get rid of the pile. We are getting closer. We're just...
And the docks,
DEQ
too.
And
are some of those docks in that corner going to go beach?
Those are all broken docks that we have kicked the can down the road getting rid of them because they're so expensive. But we have been trying to, about one load a month, take them out of here so we can more easily absorb that cost.
I understand.
So it's just kind of piece by piece of getting them out of here.
I know you have a lot of stuff in that corner where you want to put that building.
We're whittling it down.
Okay.
So if I heard Sharon right, the pole barn is going to go where the spoils have been
in that corner, yeah, over there, mm-hmm. for the FEMA building, just for the FEMA.
For
the other buildings that we were talking about to get the other tenants out will still go and discuss back there. Putting our building over there just keeps us separated from the tenants and gives us kind of our own spot, and we'll be able to use the whole length of that basin to store our pipe, which is currently in the water. I'm trying to give us more room for our dredging project altogether.
So the next question that I have is, it went away. I'll figure it out. We'll talk to you later.
Okay.
I know this was brought up a couple meetings back, but I think this kind of, if DEQ comes back with the positive, you know, really good outcome of this soil. Does that eliminate the fact that, hey, we might want to think about pumping it back into the ocean? That costs, too, the cost of having someone transport that stuff away. Just kind of like outweighing the two costs and which one would be best and go with that.
My theory on that is we are heavily weighing safety over cost, because pumping that out into the ocean, I've done it, I've been a part of it, and no part of my staff will be a part of it. So that is,
so
I will.
Cost efficient.
It's not safe. Cost efficient, maybe, as long as everything goes perfectly right, one foul up and you can find yourself upside down pretty quick. And it's not a risk I'm willing to take.
But you have so much pipe that goes way out in the ocean, too, and you've got boats crossing it, and they had it flagged last
time. It was
time.
A nightmare to deal with
that. How far was that?
Huh? Floating a pipe a mile out in the ocean and keeping it in a specific spot. Which
I was thinking submerging, actually.
Submerging it comes with its own issues of you can't see it, you can't monitor it, you don't know what it's doing. And you still end up having to float the end of the pipe, because if you lay it on the bottom, it will surely get buried.
Cost is the main. Well, you're saying safety. I appreciate that, but we're spending a lot of money.
I didn't actually pencil it all out, but the time spent going out, checking the pipe, monitoring the pipe, you have to have flashing lights on it every 75 feet, which you will surely be chasing. We broke the pipe in the surf during the winter storms,
mm-hmm.
and making those repairs down on the beach or trying to do that, coupled with the downtime that it is, I don't know for sure, but I'm not even 100% sure that that's cost effective.
My question was, Travis, how much longer do we have on this permit?
FEMA?
On the dredging for itself.
The dredging permit, since we started that in 22 is when I think it started off for our 5-year permit, so we have till 2026, I think, and we will renew for another 5-year permit. Now that they have a 5-year option for dredging permits, which turns it into a nationwide permit, it's a little bit more legwork as far as documentation and stuff to get to 5-year, but you're not doing a new permit every single year.
EPA timeline.
Who knows, right?
Well, it's actually getting better.
Oh, good.
Phase one, the initial plan and design funding was extended to May 31st, 2025. Oregon DEQ has assigned a permit writer to the port's permit application. The permit process is moving forward. The estimated time frame for the permit is the end of 2024. The additional EPA and SHPO, the State Historic Preservation Office, site survey has started and is going through the process. We are still estimating 6 months to complete. We did receive notice that our archaeologists got the permit to be able to do it, and they asked when it would be a good time for them to come out and start doing their boring and site work, and we're hoping that they're going to be here next week. So I would say we're moving faster than expected on that, but I don't want to say anything beyond that until it actually happens.
Now, this is, real quick, going to be transpiring between basically the cold storage and Pacific Seafoods plant, correct?
Yeah, we have the same company doing two different jobs for us. One's for the wastewater treatment plant, and the other one is for the commercial area in HMGP.
Well, where I was going to ask is, we're going to have to move much, is there much gear there in that area that's got to be moved to accommodate that?
No, and what they're doing right now is just augering, running auger holes to their report, and then as we get closer, yeah, Pacific Seafood, I think there's a truck over there, you know, a truck trailer, a propane tank, a freezer, and some vehicles, but the rest of the gear and stuff's all been moved out of there. So engineering permitting, total amount that we've spent is $201,891 with a remaining budget of $311,108.80.
Mm-hmm. and the cost of it going up every year.
I don't think anything's getting cheaper. You let me know if it does.
I've never written a DEQ permit, but it seems to me that should go a little quicker than 7 months. Well, it's not like it's 50 volumes, but it's...
Well, the DEQ, I mean, we turned in that permit for the wastewater treatment plant in October of last year.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm looking at the fact they've assigned a writer to it. So if it's going to take them that long to write it, it's going to be more cheap, apparently.
They said us that we shouldn't expect until the end of 2024. They did have their caveat in there. It said hopefully earlier, but...
Well, we'll hope for the best.
We can always hope, but...
Okay. All right, hazard mitigation plan update.
Okay, the current HMGP projects include the commercial area and the boatyard. The FEMA funding for these two projects is a little unclear. The port was told funds were set aside for these projects, but we have no documentation to say it's for sure. FEMA and OEM will not announce the funding until the reviews are complete. These two projects are funded by two different funding sources. The 25% matching from Business Oregon is available until May 11th of 2025. So they're still holding to that, but those funding dates almost came out at the same time as our FEMA one. So that's why those dates are very similar. This contract will need to be extended prior to May 11th. There are no deadlines to use these funds as long as the contracts are extended prior to the contract ending. The commercial area, which is 4452 project, is under EHP review, which will likely take anywhere from 18 months to 2 years to complete. Yes, that's the environmental and historic review.
Wow.
Now this just kind of, this is very similar to the same review that the EPA is doing for the wastewater treatment plant. It just goes to show the difference in how fast federal agencies can work. EPA said about 6 months it would take them. FEMA said 18 months to 2 years. So there's definitely a gap in how fast these federal agencies work. The boatyard project is on hold until FEMA is comfortable with the commercial area review process. FEMA will not provide any information as to when this may happen. Attached to the timeline from the beginning of the disaster of where we are today. Needless to say, this has been a long, bumpy road, and we still don't have great answers. I wish we had better answers. We did have a meeting with FEMA and OEM. They asked us all questions about the commercial area. That's when they told us it would take 18 months to 2 years for them to complete their review. So that led us into, what about the boatyard? And they said, we are not going to be discussing anything about the boatyard moving forward until the commercial area is done. And I wanted it to be, So I said, okay, so we are pushing through with this, getting them the information they can so that review process can get started.
Okay.
And in that news, we are, I guess I'll just keep going with it. So our DEQ stormwater permit heavily relied on this funding. We are in the process of updating and changing our commercial footprint. That's why we're moving everything up kind of as we were planning before, but now it's kind of transforming into declassifying that area so we can comply with our Tier 2 report that we have for our exceedances in our testing. So we will be having to go back to DEQ now and present them with our updated and changed plan for the commercial area for stormwater, as well as hopefully they accept our declassifications. And we've done as much as we can do with the funding we have available. You know, we bought the oil water separator. We are moving gear around. We have changed where the gear is going to be held. We put in the bioswell there. We put in, or the French drain bioswell type thing, the dirt berms, the new catch basins, and hopefully to have this new oil water separator installed there. With all that coupled with declassifying some areas, I'm hoping DEQ either accepts that as a tier two or will at least humor a further extension given our timeline and funding.
Real quick, Travis, real quick. You said we. Is EMC involved with it at all?
Yeah. With our hazard mitigation grant program?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. He's involved with all of our projects as far as hazard mitigation, EPA, and FEMA.
Okay, and the WWTP.
Wastewater
treatment plant. Involved with that also.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
Brings us to infrastructure needs grant opportunity.
All right. So this was one I wanted to at least have a conversation about and looking at it. Our projects are getting pushed off. They're getting later down the road. Our infrastructure needs aren't stopping. And I think it might be time for us to talk about or at least look at or infrastructure needs we have and possible grant opportunities that might be out there and kind of collectively start making a decision on what we want to do. Grants, you know, they vary from 10 to 50% in matching costs. All grants are very competitive. There's no guarantees. Port will be awarded a grant on the first attempt. It is possible that the port may not receive a grant at all, and would then need to find other funding sources from loans or direct legislative action. So on the next page, I pulled this from our capital improvement plan and highlighted yellow are kind of like projects. They're different areas, but basically that's slope work. Green would be and that funding source is HMGP or other sources. RV park and the facility improvements, port, Oregon Parks and Rec grants that are out there, but that's basically for paving and stormwater improvements in the RV park and or upgrade the back-end sites that are there. We also have, you know, possibly one to rebuild our travel lift ramp. You know, we are getting to the point where that travel lift ramp is getting old. And with the money that hopefully is expended in the paving that's happening out there, that it would be nice to couple that with a fully functioning, completed boatyard. The boardwalk is difficult. There's not a heck of a lot of grant opportunities out there, and a lot of those come with heavy matching funds to come with them. So, but it is a need that is coming.
Is it still moving since you guys uncoupled it?
The shoring underneath is. It continues to move, but since we have everything cut loose,
yeah.
I did just talk to a contractor that I believe we're going to have them come in there and drive a helix coil in the ground.
Oh.
And then make a plate out of that so we can repost that beam because the bearing on the last piling, since we unhooked it, it's moved almost another inch and a half or 2 inches. So it's continuing to go, and we need something independent where that doesn't fall off.
Okay.
And then the other ones are receiving docks, which there are infrastructure grants, Connect Oregon, you know, there are other grant opportunities that we can look at that those will fall under. Usually those come because they're competitive grants to get port infrastructure grants. But needless to say, it's a long list. There's lots of different areas that we are, that we need these improvements at, but I kind of wanted to start the conversation of where we might think that our focus may need to be directed to more than others. So I'm open to any help or suggestions, maybe narrowing down, because we're not going to be able to go for one or two or three grants because we're going to find ourselves spending so much money and time chasing grants, and we need to direct our efforts towards one or maybe two. at this point.
Wouldn't you start with the one that has the most, the greatest need?
That's definitely open for interpretation.
I know they all have needs, but it's by greater than others.
You could wave a magic wand, Trevor. What's your priority? Under one.
How do you feel?
Just give it some thought.
I mean, it's just tough, and it depends on where you're sitting. I mean, will our boardwalk continue to last, and can we continue to make different small repairs on there or something? I think it's going to last. It'll continue to last with some help. The travel lift ramp structure, it's one of those things we can't do without. Like, if anything happened to it, we're going to put ourselves in a very, very difficult situation, and leaving really the southern coast from, I mean, there would be no haul-out facility from Eureka Landing to Coos Bay. There wouldn't be one. So as far as its integrity and where it's at now, it's going to continue to last. It will continue to last. There's, when you drive out there, you pick something out, it's not shaking, it's not rumbling. However, its age is there. I mean, it's not far from having an issue.
I think your paving and your stormwater thing.
Paving and stormwater is probably the
because
most
of our permitting and needing to improve that, not to be on a bad tier.
Yep. What I have here is paving and stormwater for the RV park. Now the RV park, that paving and stormwater, don't get me wrong, it would be nice. It's a lot of people go through there. A lot of people see it. Is it a need? No. The port doesn't make any money off of it. There's no return, and you're driving through there at 5 miles an hour, and you're not falling in the ocean. I mean, we have, granted, there's potholes. We can continue to fill the potholes, but as far, it's a big want, but actually need that to be paved, I don't think it's
well, not for the RV park, but for your other areas that is impacting us on our testing.
Yes, so the boatyard and the commercial area, yes, it does need to be done, but I'm still confident in our grant process that we're going through with HMGP. It's just taking much longer than I think anyone expected. So I don't really want to focus too much more attention on finding another grant for a possible grant we've already spent a lot of time and money on.
Okay.
Our West Bank embankment repairs, you know, along Basin 2, that is starting to become much more of an issue, especially now that we're dredging. That all of our dredging is going to be for naught if we don't start figuring out a way to hold the banks up. I mean, that's just, they kind of go hand in hand. Now, one of the things that I'll kind of let it out of the bag that we'll be discussing a little bit in our budget committee meeting is utilizing some more of our funds coupled with our FEMA funds to get it dredged and at least start putting down tow rocks down there so we can come back and start filling, but at least as we dredge and start working our way through, mm-hmm. I would like to also spend some of the port money and put in rocks, tow rocks, to at least reinforce as we are going through our dredging project. So that's going to take us a lot longer. We have many, many slopes here that are in need. Even Basin 2 on the east side does have some issues, but as well as the transit dock, fuel dock, barge area, and parts of even A dock over here. The receiving docks, the old Pacific Seafood receiving dock and Hallmark docks, they're getting old, they're getting tired, and they are showing definitely some signs of aging that is just due, it like rebuild, fix it type of repairs.
And they're incoming.
and their income is significant to us. It's significant to commercial fishing. It's significant to jobs. Those are big ticket items. Those will fall under more than likely competitive grants. Out of anything, and the most difficult ones to get, I would say either a boatyard travel lift ramp and or receiving docks.
Sounds good.
Are the ones that stick out to me that I don't have much answers for.
So when I read this, knowing what else I'm involved with, the first thing that came to mind was mitigation, windmill mitigation. So you'll have some projects here that are certainly can conclusively be shown to be to the benefit to the commercial fishery. So if there are impacts to commercial fishing, then I think it's a reasonable ask for the port to say, look, can you help us repair these docks? And it will depend on the company and depend on exactly what their community communications plan calls for, but keep that in the back of your mind. And that'll be coming, depending on the leasing, probably within 4 years. You may have that opportunity to bring up. Whether they'll do it or not, I don't know, but at least you've got something.
Do they have mitigation funds set up already?
I don't know. There's some requirements in BOEM leasing that I'm not 100% sure of, but there have to be some community benefit come out of that. And that's not, at least I haven't seen it defined.
Is it really substantial or?
I don't know. It's going to depend, I guess, that you're talking California leases are $370 million. So it's not like it's chump change, and what they're willing to do, I don't know if they're willing to do anything. But I think at the formative stages prior to permitting particularly, they're going to want to be wearing the white hat. Right. So that just crossed my mind when I was looking at these, particularly the tie to commercial folks. Okay, anything else on that?
Just a suggestion. We did bring up the suggestion. But the capital improvement plan, Monster Rivers, as you know, that one way in budgeting is what you do is your money making, whether it's commercial, sports fishing, RV park, anything that involves that or any kind of expansion of any of those, I would shorten the list and improve those. I mean, in return, you're going to get a lot more of a cash return regularly coming through to the port. That makes sense to you guys.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, invest in what gives you money so you can get more money out of it, and then use those proceeds to help cure some of these others that are on the board here. Under suggestion.
So, remember that? So, item E is basically dock adjustments.
Okay. So, this is something that I have already done on basin 2 on E dock. I removed all the fingers on the south side, which is the side without pilings, to create side tines to accommodate larger vessels. So as we start looking at our moorages and going through, we were able to relocate the other three boats and the other 24-foot slips. Historically, we always have 24-foot slips available. We are finding less and less 24-foot boats are coming here. There seems to be fewer and fewer of them. Most of these boats are starting to get, 28 feet long, 30 feet long. So we're finding alternate places for them over here in other spaces. But for this move, it's starting to establish that those are our old docks too. We don't have replacement docks for those around. By doing this, it also allows us to have enough docks to put the sea dock fingers, all the docks back on sea dock on the non-piling side. And until funding sources become available for new docks in that area, which is going to be a significant number. As we have issues, breakdowns, or broken docks, we're going to have to start thinking creatively of how, what we can eliminate and open to use those docks somewhere else until the event that we can find new docks. So by doing this, we're able to finish out all the sea dock fingers on the north side and then have maybe 6 docks left over for future repairs and needs that we have. So for me, it's all a win-win around, but it is starting to show its face that we're running out of docks, of our older kind of docks, and in the future planning, we're going to have to look and see what is available to do that.
So, question, Travis. We just gave roughly 24 fingers to Gold Beach,
mm-hmm.
Goodwill donation. Could have those fingers gone on to that sea dock? They were beyond that?
So our old docks, they're out of water. Floating level is 11 inches. Those other docks are 17 inches. So they don't connect. And the only way they do get them to connect, and how you see like Q dock and those other docks that attach to the old dock, how they got that, is that first float going to the old docks is a shallow float. And we had to put weight on them to push them down, to push it down and get it to sink farther. And then all those come down and they kind of have a ramp going down to the old docks. And we don't have any shallow docks like that that would work to make that transition in that short of a distance.
Okay, anything else?
No.
Commissioner's comments?
We have some fishing comments,
Richard. A couple comments. So I'll start with Salmon, and I just want to bring this up on the record so everybody clearly understands where we are. So when we met in March in Fresno, Oregon and California talked about dividing up the available Sacramento fish, if you will. We came to an informal split of 20 to Oregon, 20% to Oregon, 80% to California. There is no formal split in any of the fisheries management plans. That's just what we talked about. And that's for the summer fisheries. Now, the September and October fisheries are not modeled, so we don't even talk about those at this date. When we finished that, then, and we also put the Sacramento escapement at above 180,000 under the guidance of National Marine Fisheries Service. So we went to public comments. The council received 600 written public comments on this issue, about 400 of them from California fishermen. And they were pretty well split between yes, they wanted to fish on a very short, limited basis, or no, they didn't want to fish at all. So if you remember, California's original proposal was to fish for 15 days, split into what we call derby fisheries, 4 days, 3 days, 4 days, across the button. The California commercials were going to be limited to 40 fish a week because they got caught now after those great big over to National Fishery Service said no more. So they had to go to in-season management. So they were going to cap the recreational fleet at 10,000 fish. It's not a quota, but it was a harvest cap. And the commercials were going to start with 40 fish a week. Then we went to our public hearings and came back. And on the first day of the meeting, Cal Department of Fish and Wildlife announced that they were going to close. Their recommendation was to close both recreational and commercial. The commercial rationale was that 40 fish a week would probably, their commercial fishery they anticipated would last a week. And nobody felt that time from the dock for 40 fish was worth doing. The recreational at 10,000, California, under normal circumstances, routinely puts up 4,000 fish per week. That's not uncommon, which meant that their season would either, they'd either blow through that 10,000 in one open fishing period, or that would be it. They might get 4 days out of it. So they elected to close that. That decision was a policy decision. It was not based on available abundance and modeled fishing effort. And that's important because then we run into Magnus and Stevens has what's called National Standard 4, which is equitable harvest. And it just says that when you distribute harvest among states or among fishing sectors, it has to be equitable, meaning fair, and it's not equal. So that created quite a controversy when they were closed, and we worked our way through it with the advice of attorneys and finally decided that because that was a policy decision, it would fall underneath the equitable distribution. So I want to be clear about that, because you will see a lot of smack in Facebook now about those terrible people from Oregon are out here fishing and we're tied up. The other thing that's important is that when we finished in March, the total impact for Oregon for both recreation and commercial was estimated to be 6,101 fish. And so when we got back together in April, California said, hey, look, we don't want you piling on what we just left on the table. And we said, no, we wouldn't do that. So we did adjust our seasons on the rec and the commercial side. So we came down to 6,060 fish. That's our impact estimate. So anyway, by doing that and having a season based on biological, the best available science, which I think is the only way to do it, Oregon leveraged about 125,000 salmon for our fishermen, looking at our opportunity to fish for coho, which California doesn't have. And by going in September and October, we leveraged a bunch of coastal fish. So we ended up getting that out. So I just want to, like I say, I want to mention that because you're going to hear a lot of garbage coming out. The other thing that I asked the salmon technical team to do, I'm getting tired of hearing about, why can't we just kill the first two coho we catch? Why can't we do that? It doesn't make any sense. Well, here's why I don't think you should do it. So they modeled this year's season with a 50,000 coho quota. We have a proposed 62-day season right now. Had we gone to any coho, they estimated that the fishing season or the quota would be met in 12 days. So that we would have given up 50 fishing days. So that's why we elect not to do that right now. So, okay?
Yeah.
So the other thing I have here is a letter for you. And this is my resignation, effective May 1st. As you know, my wife and I are leaving, and I'm no longer eligible to serve if I move outside of the special district. So I will hand this to you, since you did it. So with that, I would like to thank you all for your involvement and your open and welcoming nature and how well you are active the board. And I can't say enough about the staff. So it's been a great experience.
Yeah. Thank you for your leadership. I appreciate everything you do for us, the board, the staff, and your knowledge and expertise. And you will be greatly missed.
Yeah. You won't miss me in 2 months.
We will.
Well,
we will.
I wish you good luck in recruiting somebody to replace me, but time to move on.
Thank you.
So with that, if there's no other comments, our next regular meeting day will be Wednesday, May 15th, 2024. We are adjourned.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
California
Fishing
Service as well.
They preserve the right to let their commission make that decision.